When Nineveh repented, his self-centeredness and hypocrisy became evident. Now, we're probably slow to admit it if we're disappointed with or even angry at God. We wouldn't come out and say that. After all, in my head, I know it is not spiritual to question God or his purposes. But how do I deal with those heart-wrenching feelings that result when life just does not seem fair? And God could have done something about this, but he didn't. He chose not to. Somehow the truths in my head need to become rooted in my heart, and that process usually requires facing honestly the questions and doubts that my heart raises. The promises in Scripture are given to help turn our focus to our Heavenly Father and to increase our trust in him. I'd like to repeat that. The promises in Scripture are given to help turn our focus to God and to increase our trust in him. Philip Yancey, in his book Disappointment with God, talks about Job's suffering and disappointment. He says that the focus of Job is a cosmic wager between God and Satan. Satan says that people will not worship God simply for who he is. God chooses Job to show that people will. So God hides himself from Job. Satan destroys Job's life, and although Job curses his life, gets upset at his friends, and even shouts in a manner of speaking at God, he still trusts in God. And this is what God really wants, trust. More than just childlike faith, which is good, God wants fidelity, which is often developed through suffering or through difficult times. Yancey continues, he says, I realize that there are actually two cosmic wagers transpiring. He says, I've focused on the wager from God's point of view, the wager as pictured in the book of Job, in which God risks the future of the human experiment on a person's response. I doubt anyone fully understands that wager, but Jesus taught that the end of human history will boil down to one issue. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? The second wager, reflecting the human viewpoint, is the one that Job himself engaged in. Should he choose for God or against him? Job weighed the evidence, most of which did not suggest a trustworthy God, but he decided to place his faith in God. I think disappointment involves two main issues. The first one is, who is responsible? When something happens that's not fair, the question comes up, well, who's responsible? Who's to blame for this? And then the second issue is, what is my response? And by instinct, most of us want to figure out the first question before we decide how to respond. We want to know who's to blame or who's responsible for this. And then we'll decide how to respond. God does not give Job that option, and he doesn't give us that option to always know who to blame, who's responsible. God never explained to Job the origin of his suffering, but rather moved the focus to the future. Once the tragedy has happened, now what will you do? Looking around for blame would get him nowhere. He needed to exercise responsibility in his response, the one area that he, and not God, had control over. God has given us the ability to choose, the ability to respond in ways that aren't natural or human. And for that, he wants to give us strength to choose rightly. Just a few thoughts on handling disappointment correctly. Depending on the nature of your disappointment, your response should include some of the following. The first one listed is, express your feelings to the Lord. Now you might ask, well, why do I have to tell the Lord how I feel? He knows, and he does. And he even knows why you feel that way. But pouring your heart out to him prepares you to receive or to experience his love and comfort. In one of David's prayers, I would like to read just several verses from one of the Psalms, and I want you to note the despair, but then also mixed in with the despair are proclamations that David makes about God and trusting God. And it seems like there's a conflict there. He's communicating to God how he feels, but he's also acknowledging to God what he knows about God. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip and they shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths, like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It has melted within me. Do you notice the despair? But even in the midst of that, he's also reflecting on God's goodness and on ways that God has blessed in the past. I think David was responding to hardship by trusting in the Lord and praying for deliverance. And I think that's a good way to diffuse the anger that is caused by disappointment. Acknowledge your struggles and your failures. There's no point in pretending to God that your thoughts about this issue are all spiritual when they're not, because God already knows it. The second point is remind yourself that God is still in control and he has the highest good in mind for you. You know, we often interpret Romans 8:28 to mean that if one option doesn't work out, a better option will come along. But from the Lord's perspective, our character development, rather than our comfort or desires, is of the highest importance. So the better option that may come along may still not be one that my flesh likes. God's ultimate goal for believers is to conform us to the image of his Son, it says in Romans 8:29. In times of trouble, we can choose to focus on the spiritual truths that God is teaching us rather than on the loss of comfort or the things that have gone wrong. Think of a disappointment that developed your character and what you learned through that experience. I'm sure all of you can come up with something. And sometimes it's just good for us to think back about those past experiences. Point number three is when the opportunity to fulfill a dream has passed, ask the Lord for a new goal. Something else to focus your life on. Something else to put your energy into. Psalm 37, verse 1 to 6 says, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. And then he says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Why should we not fret when others mistreat us? Because we don't know what their end is. The last chapter hasn't been written. What should we turn our attention to instead? We should focus on the Lord and on what he wants to do with our lives. Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life." If you need a new vision for your life, then ask God to give you one. The fourth point that I have here is reaffirm your hope in God as your provider. Habakkuk 3:17 through 19, "Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills." Disappointments can serve as reminders to place our hope fully in the Lord. Ask God what he's trying to teach you through those things that he's allowed. You know, so often our focus is too short, too close home. The Father does promise to meet our needs. He says in Matthew 6 that if we seek first his kingdom, he will add these other things to us. And you know, when God does not meet practical needs, such as money for the bills or healing for a sick body, we have the promise that he will teach us to be content with what he's provided. Philippians 4:11 through 13, Paul says, "Not that I speak in regard to want, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." What happens within us if we cast our anxiety on the Lord? "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." In other words, even in times of lack, we can experience a supernatural joy and peace as we place our trust in our Heavenly Father. And then the last point, when disappointments come and you're trying to process this, it's something that's obviously in the past, move on. There's other things that God wants you to experience. There's other things that God wants to do in your life, but you're going to have to deal with the disappointment before you can move on. God doesn't want us to get stuck in the past, either regretting mistakes, lost opportunities, or even reminiscing about good old days. You know, some of us that are older can sometimes get caught up in that one. We think that somehow things were just better back there than they are now. But you know, God has placed us here for such a time as this, and God wants us to make a difference where we are. And it's an encouragement to me as I see the many ways that many of you are doing that, making a difference where God has planted you. Isaiah talks about the importance of forgetting the former things. God does want us to remember the lessons that we learned from the past, but let's not live there. God has given us today, and it's a glorious opportunity to experience him now. And as we do that, we're able to impart life-giving water, so to speak, to others, to those that we come in contact with. What challenge do you think that the Lord wants you to focus on instead of dwelling on your disappointments? It makes a world of difference how you view those things. In closing, when life takes an unexpected turn, we don't have to respond in anger. ask the Lord for fresh hope and a new vision, to look beyond the disappointments and the cynicism they can breed, to a stronger and a wiser faith, a confidence in God's deep love for us, and a thirst to reach not just for what God gives, but for who God is. Let's pray. Father, you've given us the opportunity to worship here this morning and to again be reminded through the Sunday school lesson, the opening, Lord, and the message here, that you love us, Lord. You have a plan for us. You want us to choose you above all else. I just pray, Lord, as we, each of us, deals with the disappointments that life brings us, the disappointments that other people bring us, even, Lord, the way that we have failed personally in our own lives, and the ways that we disappoint ourselves, I just pray that you would give us wisdom, give us insight, Lord, in knowing what to do with those. Thank you that you've provided through Jesus the opportunity, Lord, that we can bring them to you. We can give them to you. Lord, you do not hold us back, but rather you've given us an abundance of promises in your word that prove to us that you're faithful. Lord, throughout history, you've given us the record of your dealings with people in the past. And Lord, you've been a good God in many ways. I just pray that you would make this real to us and personal to us here this morning. Help us, Lord, to see in a new way that you've provided all that we need to live an abundant life and one that experiences you. I just pray, Lord, that you would help us as believers to take hold of that truth of the position that we have in Christ and all that you give us in him. Help us, Lord, may that be real in our lives and in our hearts as we seek to influence our world for you. Bless this church, this congregation, all that worship here regularly, Lord, as they go in and out these doors and as they interact with each other. May that interaction, Lord, be a blessing and an encouragement to stimulate growth in each of their lives. Guide us and direct us. We bless you in the name of Jesus. Amen.